Sometimes when I hear that we're going to have a series on prayer or a message on prayer, if I'm being honest, and I hope I can be here, I can be honest here, I hope, that the thought that would go through my mind is, uh-oh. Because it would seem like, okay, a prayer focus is a really good thing for other people. But it doesn't, can feel like that is a message doesn't really apply much to me. Because I have these stereotypes, or I've had these stereotypes about, prayer. It seems like it can be a great fit for those who are, they're the introverts, they're these contemplatives, there's people in our congregation, I just respect them, they're amazing. For them, the idea of a really great getaway is to go off in the mountain on their own, in a little cabin in the woods for a couple days just to pray. And they're there, just them, with their thoughts. Just their thoughts. And as a guy who is kind of a little type A, or I'm pretty, I'm kind of like get her done sort of person. Like I'm thinking, but what else do you do? give me an axe so I can chop something, or I'll go on a hike, or like get a guitar, let's write some songs, or do something. Come on, just sit there and pray, really. And some of you are like that, and wow, that is marvelous and hard to understand sometimes for a guy like me. Or I have this other stereotype of the prayer warrior, because there's folks, and you've met them, it's kind of cool, it's just wild, there's the spirit of oppression over there, let's go get it, and they're like, they enter into prayer they're suiting up for a game of football or something. I'm like, whoa, that is amazing. And from my perspective, it has, and it sometimes can feel kind of distant, like, wow, that's really cool for you. I'll be over here putting food in the food bank and volunteering with something and maybe leading a Bible study. You let me know how that goes, the whatever it is, the stronghold of Linguini or whatever that's going on over there. I don't know what you're doing, but it's just kind of cool and it's sort of distant. And this thought will sometimes go through my head, and I know I shouldn't say it out loud, but again, we're just being honest. This thought goes through my head, well, prayer is really great for people that have nothing better to do. Yeah, do you feel the air just come out of the room? Like, wow, okay, not cool. Because we know we're Christians. We're like, we're supposed to read the Bible and pray. It's like that's what we do. But sometimes, if you're like me, so this message today, this is for the type A's. This is for the action-oriented, get-her-done people that have a harder time with prayer. Who is with me with that? You're sort of like that. You're just the get-it-done folks, and it's hard for you to sit still. Like, yeah. And I just think, well, either, prayer is for those other people that apparently can sit still better or have more time on their hands or whatever. And I've come to discover that nothing could be further from the truth. This is the area of my life where I've been growing the most. And what I've been coming to discover as an action-oriented person, as a person that is deeply motivated by effectiveness, by wanting to get things done. So here's the phrase I want to spend some time with today. That I've just come to discover that the better I pray, the more effective I become. Yeah. Now notice I didn't say the longer, but the better I pray, the more effective I become. And I'm coming to discover that prayer is actually one of the best investments I can make of time in my day. And it's one of the best things I can do towards the tasks that I am feeling called to accomplish. And so I want to talk about it from that perspective. Now I realize, so if you're here and you're already that contemplative and you feel like I've made fun of you, that is not my intention ever. Or you're the prayer warrior. That's not my intention ever. In fact, just pray for me, okay? Because I'm in a learning process here. But what I'm hoping to do is to inspire all of us, regardless of our personality type, regardless of whether we feel naturally drawn to prayer or not, to really start to dig deep in our prayer life with the Lord. Now, throughout this series, what we've been looking to do is to develop this conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit through asking and listening. That we ask God about the things going on in our life, and we listen to God on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. So what I wanted to just share with you first is the things that I do on a daily basis in prayer that I found to be very, very, very helpful. And then take a look at some of the assumptions, the biblical foundation for those actions, because it's been so helpful for me. So here's what I do on a daily basis, every single day, is I'm looking to be in the Word of God. Because when we are in the Word of God, we are listening for the heart of God. Like this, God's Word, this incredible gift that has been preserved for us by the Holy Spirit over the centuries for us. This is the best window we have into the heart and character and mind of God. And yes, we can misunderstand it, but when it's rightly understood, and we enter into the Word of God with a heart of submission and a desire to learn, God speaks. He continues to speak through His Word. Can I get an amen? You with me? Okay. And so I try to be in God's Word every day. And here's what I do. And so, and this is what I would be challenging you to do. You don't need to do it the same way I do. Please, please, please don't hear that. But I'm in a Bible reading plan. Now, I kind of like using YouVersion, and so I read it on a tablet most of the time. But it's, I mean, this is good. Read a paper Bible. Embroider Bible verses in your underwear. I don't care how you're accessing God's Word, but that you are in God's Word on a regular basis. And here's what I do. Is that as I'm reading through, in my case, yeah, I'm usually going through a plan. Like my default is one of those Bible in a year plans. Just reading through, and I notice things. And I trust that the Holy Spirit is in somewhere present and noticing these things. So here's some examples from the past week. And these are screenshots. I know you can't see everything. But so on the left, it's I've been reading through the book of Jeremiah. And so just notice there's a passage in there that says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So you just notice that and say, okay, Lord, are you trying to tell me something through that? What does it mean for me to have my heart submitted to you? Are there places where I'm self-deceived in my life? Lord, help me to dial into you today. Or like on the right, a passage from Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You know, a verse, just kind of notice it. Just spend some time with it. Not even necessarily a long time, but just, God, what are you trying to remind me of through your word? Just developing that habit of being in God's word every morning, because I'm discovering, and you might put it in a different place during your day, but for me, I'm discovering that how I start the day is how I'm setting the day. Like, it just sets a direction for the day, it sets my heart in the right place. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I wake up and I'm grumpy. I'm tired. Maybe I haven't slept well. Maybe I've had a weird dream or whatever. You know, you wake up and you're just feeling kind of critical and rude. You know, don't point at anybody. But you're like, ah! You know, and so I've got to get my heart in the right place. And that's the second habit that I found to be really helpful, which is to anchor my emotions in the Word of God. And so one of my mentors taught me this, and it's been incredibly helpful to have these personal affirmation statements, just phrases that I keep in front of me all the time. Now, I'm going to share just two of them, but these are ones that I've crafted over time that are reminding me of biblical truth that are trying to get my heart anchored. The first one is this: Christ in me is powerful enough to accomplish everything I am called to be and do. Now, that helps. It helps me Because sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with the challenges of the day. Sometimes I get discouraged with what's going on in my own life. You know, gosh, you're a pastor. Why are you thinking those thoughts? You know, or why are you, you know, like all this stuff that's going on. And I need to ground my heart in something outside of myself. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't feel sad, doesn't mean you don't feel angry, doesn't mean you don't feel lonely or discouraged, but it puts the emotion in context. Because any transformation that's going to happen in my heart is not going to happen by my power alone. It's going to happen by the power of who? Who lives where? In me. Because here's the thing I need to keep remembering. Now, wouldn't it be great if all of the people around you just intuitively knew what you needed in any given moment? You know, so your kids, they wake up and they're like, "Dad, it is so good to see you today. I just appreciate you." Isn't it great when that happens? Like how many times in the blue moon, you know, like it's just so, you know, or your spouse is just dialed into your emotional needs, you know, like, "Yeah, let me just encourage you this morning." And or your coworkers, you walk into the office, you know, there's a cheering committee, they just can't wait to see you coming into work. But that doesn't happen very often, or maybe ever. Because they're dealing with their own stuff too. And so if I am leaning on my kids, if I'm leaning on my spouse, if I'm leaning on my coworkers or my buddies or my besties or whoever to make me feel good, to make my heart be in the right place, I could be waiting a very, very, very long time. Right? But there is a source of peace, a source of joy, a source of hope, a source of perspective that I can draw on every time, in every moment of every day, especially starting the day. And who is that? It's Jesus. So it's important to anchor your emotions in the right place, because sometimes, you know, your precious beloved, they might wake up in the morning kind of like a creature wakes up from the Black Lagoon, right? Not saying it would happen in our house, just hypothetically I've heard. You know, and it can set your day off. Again, I'm not saying it happens, just saying it could. But we can anchor our hearts. We can anchor our identity. We can anchor our emotional well-being in something that can actually carry the weight. Don't go venting on Facebook. It's not going to make you happy. Lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. It brings me to the second phrase that I keep in front of me all the time. You craft your own phrases. I'm just sharing them so that you can see what it, you know, an example. But your examples are going to be better because they're crafted for you. The second one is this, is that pain is my friend because through it I learn and grow. Because sometimes when I experience hardship, it just must be, well, because the world is awful. Or I forget that sometimes the things that are going to be best for me are going to be things that at the moment are going to be a bit uncomfortable. Now that I'm on the other side of 40, I'm discovering that exercise is more important than it used to be, right? And it hurts, and it's not always fun, and it's not always easy, but it's always good. All of the hard, all of the truly significant things that you are going to do in life are hard. And will at times be uncomfortable. So I need to remind myself of that. This is getting emotionally grounded. This is not suppressing the emotion. This is not pretending that I'm not sad when I am. This is putting all of those things in perspective and laying them at the foot of the cross to the one person who can carry the weight of all of the things that I'm experiencing and feeling. Because when I do that, then my life can actually overflow. So I've talked about those are the two habits, being in the Word and getting emotionally anchored every morning, doing the best I can for that, taking my own emotional temperature and saying, what do I need to remind myself of so that I can serve my family well, so I can serve my kids well, so I can serve my work environment well? What do I need to do to get anchored? And then, there's some assumptions about God. Now, the three things I'm going to cover here. Now, if you've read the Bible at all, you've been walking with the Lord at all, you're going to go, oh yeah, duh, so simple. Just hang on. I'm going to drop the hammer at the end. Okay. There's just some basic things about God that are important to remember as we pray. The first is this: is that God is already present. No matter what environment you're in, no matter what situation you're in, God is already there. He may not be doing everything in that moment that he is going to do, but he's already aware of it. We see that throughout the scriptures. I'm reminded of Psalm 139. It's one of the passages I memorized even as a teenage boy. There we go. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down before a word is on my tongue. You know it completely, O Lord. You have hemmed me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Then gets to verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, and even the Hebrew word there is implying even the depths of the grave. If I make my bed in the depths of the grave, even you are there. Even there, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You could be in the darkest depths of the Marianas Trench in one of those little submarines with James Cameron for whatever reason. You cry out to God and he will hear you. You could be in the International Space Station and something goes wrong and you say, God, would you help? And God will hear it. There's nowhere you can go where God is not already present. There's no situation you can be in where God is not already aware of it and in some level present there. The second thing we have to remember is that God is good.
Amen.
Amen? Now, here's another verse. You probably already have this one memorized, okay? John 3:16. We're going to read verses 3:16 and 17. For God, let's say it out loud together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So God is good. His heart is one of love. His heart is one of redemption. He is a savior. He is a helper. He is a redeemer. He is the first responder who ran into our burning building to rescue us. We've got to remember that. God is present. God is loving. And here's the third thing, is that God's plan A is to work through believers. Now, that doesn't mean that God cannot work apart from us. Sometimes, believers are so unresponsive to God that God uses other means. Many of you have just finished, the journey through the first five books of the Bible, and you were reading in Numbers, and God's like talking through a donkey, and you're like, that is weird. Well, yeah, he can do that if he wants to. If Christians won't say anything, wait for your cat to speak. I don't know. But God can use things that aren't you, but he wants to use you. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
He wants to use you. It's his plan A for the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Mary preached on this last week. She did a great job too. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on who? You. Poke somebody and say, that's you. That's you. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and who will be my witnesses? You will. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. God's plan A is to use believers to make a difference in the world. He's present in every situation. He is good, and he is looking to use you to make a difference. You're in a situation and it's not good. That means God's not done with it yet. He's looking to use you. So this includes you. This also includes us. God's looking to use the church to make a difference in the world. So here's the big question I want to spend some time with today. Now, because we're probably all on the same page, I'm assuming. I mean, this is pretty biblically solid stuff. There's lots and lots of references to. And if you have any questions, just go into the Word. Don't believe it because I say it. But we're on the same page where God is present everywhere. If there's a creator of the universe, he can go anywhere he wants. And that God is good. We see that especially through Jesus Christ. God is everywhere present, God is good, and God's plan A is to work through believers. If those three things are true, then if there is a God who is present everywhere, good, and looking to work through believers, would it benefit you to listen to God's instructions for you? Yes. Yes. Yes, right? So here's some questions that go along with that. How important would it be for you to listen to that? On a scale of 1 to 10, is it like a 1? Like, oh, it's optional? You know, like the God of the universe is speaking, he's got something to say, and well, I don't know, maybe I want to hear it, maybe I don't. Is it like a 1? Maybe a 2? I'll take it under advisement, God. You know, you tell me your plans and your desires, and I'll let you know what I think. Is it that? Or is it maybe just a bit higher? Like a 3 or a 4 or a 5 or a 6 or a 9 or a 10? How important would it be for you to hear God's instructions for you? I mean, we've got all these barriers sometimes to really hearing from God. Some of those barriers are spiritual. I mean, the devil doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to listen. There's that barrier, but there's also human fallen flesh. I mean, we have our pride. We don't want to hear from God. We're like, we want to do it our way. But what if we listened to God? What if we sought him on a daily basis? We anchored our hearts in the Word and we listened for his instruction. What do you think had happened in your life? I mean, like, what if, I mean, just a little nerd aside, okay? What if it only helped you make a 15% better decisions? Like, you didn't hear too well all the time, but you sought them a little bit, and it just made your decisions 15% better in the next week. Do you know what 15%, like, can you imagine an investment with 15% compounding interest over 20 years? Do you know what that is? It's the best investment of your life is what it is. Now, if God can make more than a 15% difference in your life by listening to him, what do you think would happen if you listened to him on a daily basis? And what do you think could happen if all of us listened to God on a daily basis? So here's the challenge. Here's where we're going, okay? For 1 week, 1 week, would you seek God through his word? So you're opening up your Bible, or you're looking at your embroidered Bible underwear. Somewhere you are accessing God's word on a daily basis. That for on a daily basis you would ask, and you would, thirdly, you would listen. To seek God through his word, to ask and to listen. Just imagine what could happen if all of us did that. So if you want to do, make that commitment, because next week, here's what's going to happen. What's going to happen next week is we're going to hear some stories of how God is at work in our lives. You don't want to miss this, because I know that God is on the move. I know that God has something to say. So if you are with me in that commitment, stand up right now. For the next week, we're going to be in God's word. We're going to be asking. We're going to be listening. We're going to be seeking the Lord. And we're going to see what he has to say to you and to me and to us. Because God is on the move. Let's pray. Yeah. So God, would you speak to us? We want to hear your voice. We want to listen. We want to obey. And we thank you that you have something to say. And so we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen.